Please turn with me now to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. After a several weeks break, we will be looking here at, it's Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 8. And I will begin reading at verse 1, and we will go through the entire chapter in our reading. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is broken, or the golden bowl is the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And now the rest of the chapter. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And let us remember that this is the word of God, and God bless it to us. Now, I need to apologize right up front. I'm having an aura from a migraine. So if I misread some words or something doesn't quite make sense, it's because I'm having trouble seeing things. This is like the second time this has happened on a Sabbath. Well, we have some kind of solemn and grim words here, don't we? Solomon, moved by the Holy Spirit, is telling people, remember now what you should be thinking of. And so there are things for children here. So we have a little one who doesn't quite understand yet. We have two younger ladies, and one's married and in Bible times, the other would have been, probably by now. But children, remember, if we had other kids here, we would be directing them to give an ear to this. Children think that they have a long time ahead of themselves, and for most cases, this is true. Kids don't usually die young, but it does happen. You folks know we had a grandson who lived all of 2 days. And there are other children who may last longer. They're found early to have a weird cancer. So often it's retinoblastoma, a clouding over the eye that's a cancer that often kills. It used to be some children would have leukemia, and that was basically a diagnosis of death. Maybe some of you watch TV channels where St. Jude's Hospital has commercials, and it's they're one of the main places that we're due to that we owe for the fact that leukemia in children is not nearly as much a death sentence as once it was. Some of you may remember Nella Kirk, who used to be a worshiper here with us. Nella, many years ago, had a little son, and he died from leukemia as a young boy. Little kids get in car wrecks. Little kids get sick from other things. It used to be there are diseases around now that people haven't heard of in a long time, or now because of antibiotics, they aren't terribly dangerous. I remember reading about or hearing about a young people's conference at Rose Point back in the 1920s. And it was along the Slippery Rock Creek, and everyone had a good and blessed time there. And a bunch of kids got scarlet fever, which is a strep infection, and a bunch of kids died. A bunch of high school kids got killed from that. When I was 6 years old, I had it, but there was penicillin, so here I am. There are many things that take out little kids, sadly, and you can find, you go to a graveyard, you can see tombstones with a little angel or a little lamb on them. It just breaks your heart. And you feel for those parents, but it happens, sadly. But probably it's the case, if we had any young kids here, that we could tell them, you know, you have a long life ahead of you. But, so we see here in verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult times come. You have a duty to remember God, to come to Him in Jesus, and to serve Him all your life. If you're like someone like Linnea today, she was just baptized and there are obligations upon her. And all of us are baptized. We have the same obligations. The longer you wait to serve Jesus, the more of your life that's wasted, sadly. After all, God is the one who made you. God is the one who created you for His own glory. You owe Him. He has the right to your service. Now, if you delay and put off and say to yourself, I'll wait till I'm an old man or an old woman, then I will serve God. If you even live that long, if you give your life to Jesus, then I can guarantee you, and I've talked with older saints who had this very thing happen. Late in life, it's not very common, but late in life, they come to Christ. And they are heartbroken that they made a waste of much of their lives. They are so sorry that they didn't give more of it to God in Jesus Christ. I would spare you. You know, if you're a teenager now or in your 20s, you probably have a long life ahead of you yet, but it gets away fast. It gets away fast. Ask your parents. Ask your grandparents. It gets away fast. Serve now. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. A second reason to remember now, if you're a kid, is that it's hard when you're old. And Solomon is talking about this here, before the difficult days come. Life gets more difficult as you get older. Just like an old car that parts start falling apart, so it is with your body, and so it can be with your mind. So we go on to read, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. There are all kinds of things that are so fun and pleasurable now, but when you get to be older, the days aren't pleasurable anymore. Let me speak from my own experience. 10 years ago, I became diabetic, and there's all kinds of yummy stuff I can't have anymore. I shouldn't have anymore. All it does is make the diabetes worse. And there are other things, because things are working out wrongly or not working properly at all, that I can't do. I can't see the manuscript very well here because I've developed this migraine, which thankfully doesn't have a headache with it, but I'm temporarily partly blinded for about 20 minutes at a time. Thankfully, it only happens every few months, but still, you know, it's an annoyance. And there are other things that, well, things that used to be fun and entertaining, they just aren't anymore. You can't see well, you can't hear well, and Solomon talks about this. It's rare for older people to even be able to give their hearts to Jesus. Don't wait, or it might be too late. Now, Solomon writes here in these next few verses of how hard and sad old age can be. It isn't always, but it can be. The sun and the light, the moon and the stars become dark, as we see in verse 2 here, and the clouds return after the rain. You think a sad time is over, but it's still gray and dark and gloomy. The day when the keepers of the house tremble. This is talking about your body, how it gets all trembly and weak. The strong men bow down. The grinders cease because there are few. You know, this isn't talking about people with a mortar and pestle or a grain mill or something. This is talking about your teeth. They don't work so well because they've fallen out. And then this picture here, those that look through the windows grow dim. You try to look through your eyes, and they are dimmed by cataracts or macular degeneration or a stupid migraine or whatever. You can't see well. I was just talking with someone in the congregation that when there's very little light, she can't tell the difference much between dark colors. And my night vision is crummy anymore. We go on to read, when the doors are shut in the streets, you know, you're cut off from other people because you can't hear them. You can't visit with them. The sound of grinding is low. There may be things going on, but you can't even hear them. Can't even tell they're happening. Got a coffee maker. When it's done brewing, it gives this beep, 5 beeps to let you know that it's done brewing and it's ready to go. And I can hardly hear it, but I'm told by Judy it's fairly loud. Going on. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, you older people like me, you know how this is. It's just a little tiny noise and it gets you jarred. And the daughters of music are brought low. At the same time, you want to hear something beautiful, perhaps on YouTube or on a CD or streaming somewhere. You got to turn up the volume and everyone's looking at you and saying, does it have to be so loud? Well, yeah, I can't hear it. They're afraid of height and terrors in the way. Judy and I went hiking in Hocking Hills a few years ago with Isaac, and there had just been an ice storm, and he's cavorting around all over the place, and we're barely creeping because we're afraid we're going to slide and slip and hurt ourselves. It's that way for older people. The almond tree blossoms. Now, we don't have too many almond trees around, but in the time of blossoming, these trees, you can't see the leaves because they are just full of beautiful white flowers. And this is a picture of your hair and such getting gray and white. The grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. Man goes then, goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about in the streets. There's a time coming when you will be gone. And I would say if we had kids here, this is really hard to imagine, but someday you'll be a dad or a mom or a grandma or a grandpa. And then you will die. And your kids And your grandkids will remember you. But for your grandkids' children, all you will be is a name and a few stories and maybe a few pictures. And take it out another generation, that might not even be. All they'll know about you, maybe, is what they see on your headstone. You're gone in the sight of society. No one knows about you. Hard and sad old age can be. And Solomon knew this. He'd been young once, and now he is old as he writes this. If all you have is a wasted life, and all you've lived for is the pleasures of this world, what sad old men and women you shall be. I thank God that that's not the case for any of us here. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus, even though all these effects of old age come, you will still continue to know something that worldlings will not. You will continue to have his presence. You will continue to know his pleasure in you. You will continue to have fellowship with him, and you will have the prospect of much better to come, of a life that awaits you where there is no longer any weakness, any pain, any suffering, sickness, sorrow, any of that sort. It's all gone. And I remind myself that heaven, though it seems so strange right now what it must be like, when we get there, it will feel like home. Now, maybe where you are doesn't feel like home. Maybe it does, right? Home is with my folks, and this past week is a rough week because my dad died on the 14th of December in 2006, my mother on the 15th of December in 2013, and so I get kind of sad this past week. And being back at my folks' house, that's not home anymore. Bell Center's kind of home now, but even that, it's not ultimately so. I think a lot of around Rose Point as being home almost, and that's where Judy and I will be buried, and Owen is there, and Isaac and Danielle at least are going to be there. But since her folks' deaths, well, that's taken away the hominess of it. And her family house has been changed by new owners, so things are different. But when we get to heaven, it will feel infinitely more home than any place else we've ever been on earth. Now, that leads me to see in verses 6 through 8 that Solomon says, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. A time is coming, as we have said, when you must die. In Hebrews 9:27, we read that. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And when you die, everything is locked in. You go to heaven or to hell. There is no place else, and there is no changing then. Room for repentance is gone. We can see this in Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, in verses 19 through 31, and then what I just quoted from Hebrews 9:27. Without a living relationship to Jesus, everything ultimately is vanity, is meaningless. Only in Jesus is there meaning and purpose and blessing. So if we had little kids here, I'd be telling them, Oh, children, give your lives to him. And what we have here are adults, even though some are young adults. You whose life has been wasted so far, I don't think in God's kindness we have any of you that way. But maybe someone's watching, I don't know. You're hastening on toward old age and then death. Don't waste things any longer. Cry out to Jesus to save you from your sin. Cry out to Jesus to make you new. Cry out to Jesus to make your life count. And let it be said, as we see in Revelation 14, 13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow after them. You know, it may be that your great-grandchildren will never know much about you, and your great-great-grandchildren even less. But if you're in Christ, what you've done for the kingdom is remembered and lasts and is used by God to glorify himself, and it is a blessing, and there is a reward awaiting for you. There is rest, and there is blessing if you are in Jesus. So remember now, while you're a young person, and you people here, remember even now, even though you're older than once you were, you're older than Hannah, remember now your Creator. Serve him in and through Jesus.